out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. I don't care if I never get back. Let me root, root, root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. For it's one, two, three strikes, you're out at the old ball game.
Welcome to Slow Pitch, a podcast that takes sports movies too seriously, or perhaps not seriously enough. We're your hosts.
I'm about to buzz the tower.
Sean Williams.
I forget to say my name all the time. I just say the... when you started introducing, I was like, oh, I forgot to come up with a thing to say. Anyway.
And Slider, you stink. Brad Etherly.
Yeah.
Two guys to consider watching sports movies, a type of aerobic exercise. Today's episode is a review of the 1986 classic Top Gun. So here's the thing. We just released our Out of Bounds episodes, which don't have anything to do with sports movies. But in celebration of the release of Top Gun Maverick this weekend, we decided to go ahead and record and release our first time out, which is Top Gun, which is a movie that has sports in it, but isn't necessarily about sports. So we're excited that Maverick is coming out, and we wanted to rewatch the classic volleyball scene of Top Gun.
And I want to be clear about that. The timeout, that is a where we review the sports scene in a non-sports movie, right?
Well, we're reviewing the whole movie.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I thought we were going to spend an hour talking about the beach volleyball scene, which it's I don't even think it's on a beach, but I came prepared.
No, I don't think
Okay. Okay.
Did you watch the whole movie?
I did. Well, yeah, I've seen the whole movie, okay. but yeah, I was paying special close attention to the volleyball scene because that's the sports portion.
Yeah, no, I think that just like the Out of Bounds where we review the whole movie, this is a review of the whole movie, but because it's got sports in it, it's going to be considered a timeout. So,
okay.
Yeah, I can't wait to do the Naked Gun as well, because while the baseball portion is spectacular, that whole movie just makes me laugh.
Yeah. Well, I like how we hash out slow pitch policy on the air, but all good. Yeah. I'm ready.
Nobody cares.
I know. If you have a thought on slow pitch policy, tweet us at whatever we say our Twitter handle is.
Well, and I'll tell you this too.
Slow pitch cast.
Slow pitch cast for Twitter, slow pitch podcast for Instagram. Since we're talking about slow pitch so much, before we get into Top Gun, I want to mention that I've played two games of slow pitch church league softball. It's been over 20 years since I've played any sport, but especially slow pitch softball for the church league. And I'm not going to lie. Listen, I can flash some leather out on the field. I'm a little Ozzie Smith out there at first base. All right. But I mean, it's a natural position because I'm 6'8". I can catch a ball if you throw it in a 10-foot radius of me, typically. But my offensive game has deteriorated somewhat. Not that it was ever prodigious. I was looping base hits over the second baseman in my prime. You know, it wasn't like I was going yard every at-bat. But I've had three at-bats in two games so far because we have 25 people on our team. And yeah, it's embarrassing because the last game, I texted you this after the last game, I struck out twice. And it wasn't like I foul tipped a ball or anything like that. Two complete whiffs. Not even touching. It was... even the girl who has never played a sport in her life got base hits, you know, and here I am.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, I was on a walk in my neighborhood this evening and I walked past a Little League baseball field. And it was a nice Nashville night. The sun was setting, like the sky was kind of this nice orange to purple gradient. The grass on this field was really green. I think there'd probably been a game earlier, and there was a baseball sitting there. Like someone had left a fairly new baseball behind. So I thought, I'm going to go see if I can throw this baseball from home plate, like I'm trying to throw out a runner who's trying to steal second base. So my goal is to throw it from home plate, you know, and kind of hit the bag, like pretend like I'm hitting somebody who's going to tag. I should have yelled four before I threw this ball. I mean, well, first off, like it did not even make it to second base, but secondly, it went in like a 45 degrees the wrong way. It was so embarrassing, so bad. And the sad thing is like, I went out and retrieved the ball, and then I tried to throw it from like middle of the outfield home, and then it like bounced before it got to the pitcher's mound. This is a little league field, like 8-year-olds play on this thing. So I will probably be checking myself into a senior living facility sometime this week. But yeah, it was so bad. So bad. And like the funny thing is like when I saw that baseball, you know, like John Fogerty's Center Field starts playing in my head. I'm like, here I go. Or Glory Days by Bruce Springsteen. And then I go out there and it's just Noodle Arm City, USA.
Well, that's the sad thing about it is that I get up there and I start, you know, warming up with my batting stance. You know, I'm looking like Jeff Bagwell out there ready to just crank one. And then I, you know, some 62-year-old beer belly guy pitches the ball and I just miss all of it. And it's so embarrassing. And the last one was to end the game. And so that was a slow walk back to the dugout.
Oh, man.
Everybody was upset with me for striking out to end the game in slow pitch softball.
Well, are you allowed to bunt? Can you bunt?
You know what? You actually can. Yeah. Well, maybe I'm afraid if I did that.
If you struck out again, you're like waving the bat and just somehow sneaks past you.
It's embarrassing, man. So all that to say that I think that, you know, and this is not saying much, I think I'm a better slow pitch podcaster than I am a slow pitch player at this point. So anyways, let's get into Top Gun. I'm going to tell you something. I have not loved Top Gun for a while. It's not been something that I just enjoy. And while my wife loves it, she can quote every single line. She watched about half of the movie with me before she fell asleep. She's always asking me to watch this movie with her. And I'm like, no, I don't really like it. I don't want to watch it. But I will say that after watching it last night, I've got a little bit more respect for it. I think that it's been hard for me. I haven't watched it in a long time, but I guess I never really completely understood the movie other than planes flying.
Okay. Well, first off, let me ask you why you cut out for a little bit there. Why didn't you like it before?
Well, I think that mostly I was rebelling against everybody else loving it. But there was also, speaking of the volleyball scene, there was this point in high school when all the girls in my high school like swooned over the volleyball scene in that movie. And there was something about...
Are you sure it was the girls who were swooning over it? We'll talk about this later.
but yeah, it was definitely the girls. And I think that there was something about me that maybe was a little jealous that was like, you know what? I can't stand Top Gun. Or I don't know what it was. But yeah, I just kind of rebelled against everybody else's love for it. But it is actually a really fun movie to watch.
Well, okay. So this movie came out in 1986. I mean, this was like the height of my interest in G.I. Joe, in planes, and I'll call it cartoon war. You know, like I would play with my G.I. Joe guys. Like the ultimate toy that I wanted that some kids had was the G.I. Joe aircraft carrier the big 99 mm-hmm. on it. I mean, this movie had that stuff. It had all of that. And for some reason, I was not interested in seeing it as a kid. I don't remember
really?
I don't remember asking my parents to go see it. I remember it being big. I remember the Pepsi commercial, like where they fly upside down, they pour the Pepsi. Do you remember that?
I don't.
If you YouTube it, there's a Top Gun was such a popular movie that there was a, and I think if you watch this movie, you see Pepsi cans throughout the movie, but there was a Pepsi commercial where these two fighter jets are flying and one guy's out of Pepsi. And so the other guy flies upside down, kind of like Maverick does, but instead of flipping him the bird, they pour a Pepsi like while they're flying or something like that. I'm saying this from memory. I need to give it a Google myself.
Sure.
But anyway, but yeah, it was like really pervasive. But I think one of the reasons that maybe as a 10-year-old, it didn't appeal to me is because they sold the movie on planes and not necessarily people. And I think, you know, I've never been a car guy. I've never been jets or airplane guy, like even music. I think I've talked about this on the podcast before. I'm not even a gearhead really, but I think if they had maybe sold me as a little kid more on people, I might've been more into it. And then, you know, I didn't see this movie till I was an adult. And
really?
So some of the fascination that everybody had in the 80s. And again, I understand that it's like a massive part of, mm-hmm. of 80s pop culture. And it's weird because I saw Hot Shots when it came out, and that was like a spoofing of tons of scenes in Top Gun, and which I still thought were funny, but I'd never seen Top Gun when that came out. But yeah, it's interesting that it was something that I should have liked, but I just didn't. Another thing too, you said that you had trouble following, like, did you say you had trouble following the movie or you were confused?
Yeah, the plot to me, when I went and saw it as a 10-year-old, it was just cool because it was just planes flying and missiles launching and, you know, stuff like that. So I didn't catch the whole, some elite school and they were trying to gun for the number one spot. And it still confuses me a little bit, to be completely honest, which we can get into.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about that because the geopolitics of it are really, really vague.
Yeah.
And they keep talking about MiGs, like, which is a Russian plane. But they're over the Indian Ocean. And so, mm-hmm. like, is it Iran? Iran?
The only thing I can think of is that. So MiGs are Russian. Yeah, they're Russian planes. But, you know, they would just kind of like the United States. They would sell surplus machines and weapons and things like that to other countries. You know, the famous situation for the United States is selling arms to Afghanistan. And it was all to help Afghanistan fight the Russians in the 70s. But I would imagine that, you know, you also had the Soviet Union, right? It wasn't just Russia. And it kind of crept all the way down into the stands, the countries, you know, the Uzbekistan and the Kazakhstans, which would have been closer to the Indian Ocean. So I wonder if that Soviet Union would have been what we were supposed to be seeing in the MiGs.
I guess I'm assuming, well, first off, do we know if the government, did the United States government underwrite this movie at all?
They allowed filming to take place at their San Diego Naval Base. They allowed for filming to take place on an aircraft carrier and using their planes as well. And I think that the producers ended up giving, like, I read where they gave, I think, $1.8 million to the Navy to do so, which seems like a pittance in army money, you know.
Yeah.
when a plane costs $30 million, like they say in Top Gun, back then, to get, you know, basically $2 million is a steal for the production company, I think, to use all that stuff. So I don't think that they underwrote it at all, but they did. I don't know if you saw this, but they did use the movie to set up recruitment centers in theaters. And because of this movie, like, they had their biggest recruitment period ever. Like it was a huge amount. I mean, it was an insane amount of people signed up to enter the Navy. after seeing this movie.
That's really interesting because I just, there, you know, sometimes I DVR stuff and I don't watch it till later. And I was watching, do you know Real Sports with Brian Gumble? Brian Gumble, do you know that show? Just today, I watched an old show. It's probably like 2 months old. And it talks about these like Olympic games that Russia currently has. Like they have them every year, but they're like war Olympic games. So like all these countries come to Russia and they do like these tank drills. And like they have this thing where people are in a sinking battleship and you have to like the team has to figure out how to get out of the sinking battleship or keep it from sinking or whatever. And like these soldiers are doing obstacle courses and you know, they're judged on their time and their speed and accuracy and all this stuff. And they rig it pretty much so Russia wins every year. but they use it. Russia uses it. It's televised all through Russia. And Russia uses it as an army recruiting tool. And so it's funny. When I watched that this morning, I was like, oh, man, that's super weird that they do that. And then, well, you know, the United States Army – they made sure they were in those theaters to capitalize on showcasing America's might, I guess.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah, so why? I guess I didn't always understand this movie because you know this movie came out in May of 86, so I just turned 10, and so I was pretty young, but I remember seeing this in the theater and. Buzzing the Tower was cool. Maverick's just kind of cocky indifference was cool. Them singing She's Lost That Love and Feeling was cool. All these like,
was it cool? I almost asked you to have a female, like for us to find a female third host for this, because I wanted to ask that female, if two dudes come up to you in a bar and start singing, like how quickly do you call the cops? Like Kelly McGillis is like impressed by it. She's like, oh, you guys. And then somehow the entire fleet of soldiers know to come in on the background vocals or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just wonder if in the 80s in a naval base, maybe things are different. I don't know, but she seemed like, to almost anticipate it and enjoy it, you know? Yeah.
Okay, I think, again, I wish we had a female co-host right now because I'm going to do some speculating. But I think, like, if you are in that Air Force or Navy uniform, I think you are given, like, 20 to 25% leeway on how hokey you can be.
Sure.
Like, if you walk up in street clothes and you start singing, you've lost that loving feeling, you're slapped within 15 seconds. I think the uniform buys you a little time. And if you look like Tom Cruise, that might buy you a little more time. If you look like me, you are in a jail cell.
The bouncer is taking you by the scruff of your neck and throwing you.
The bouncer has me in a sleeper hold within 1 minute.
You know, it's interesting because we would go to San Antonio a lot. And I don't know what kind of base is down there, but there's a lot of armed forces and uniforms all over San Antonio. And the girls in my class or from my school always acted like they were just beside themselves that these, these military men were all over the place and they could. And I was just like, they're just wearing white uniforms. I mean,
when you say they were beside themselves, like...
Yeah, it was like if we saw supermodels walking all over the Riverwalk.
Okay.
It was that kind of the thing. Like they were as intrigued by that as we might be if we saw Sports Illustrated swimsuit models walking, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway. But that was cool to me as a 10-year-old. And all those things were just kind of like 10-year-old. And I was not into planes. I was not into cars like you said you weren't. I had friends that were and could tell you the difference between an F-14 and an F-16.
What is the difference? Two Fs?
Two. I mean, a difference of two.
Yeah. Yeah, this one's better by two Fs.
but you know, it did... speak to me as a 10-year-old boy. But I didn't understand not only the geopolitics of it, but also, like I said, I didn't realize that they were in some sort of elite training school. Now, this is what I still don't understand. And I even had to talk to Alicia about it, my wife, after, because it seems to me that the Top Gun school, what's the point of it, really? Because we start off on an aircraft carrier run by, I don't know what he is, an admiral? Stinger? I don't know. In the Indian Ocean. And then they go to Top Gun. They get this training. And then we end on that same aircraft carrier at the Indian Ocean doing more battles with the Russians, I guess. And so, like, why did we do that whole middle part? Like, what did they gain?
And I don't know. Like, I have not looked this up or anything. But, okay, we're obviously smack dab in the middle of the Cold War. And Rocky IV has just come out a few months earlier. But I'm wondering if they made the sole purpose of the movie war, like war against Russia or Russian allies or whatever. I keep saying Russia, Soviet Union.
Sure.
That would be considered like an instigation or something like that. And so they made it more like they sort of threw a sports movie into it. Like it was also about this competition that they're doing.
Sure.
I don't know. That's a guess.
Well, the only thing that, I mean, Alicia kind of explained that they're just better at what they're doing now because of the extra training that they received because they were the top 1%, which is all fine and dandy, but they took care of the MiGs the first time. And so
Tom Cruise could already fly a foot and a half upside down from a MiG. What was he going to learn?
Goose could take a picture from. Yeah. I mean, like, and Merlin kind of gets away scot-free because he's Merlin, who is Tim Robbins. He's in the beginning of the movie where they're on the aircraft carrier, and then he doesn't go to Top Gun. And then he's the Rio for Maverick at the end. So he doesn't even go to Top Gun, but he gets to participate in all this. But I guess, I don't know. I guess
it's kind of hilarious that like Tim Robbins is in this movie and doesn't really do anything. I guess he's not Tim Robbins yet. So,
well, I guess it was one of his first movies, and it's hilarious because
it's Meg Ryan's
at the end
first
of the movie.
Too.
Yeah. When he gets out of the plane, you know, Tim Robbins is like 6'5" and Tom Cruise is like 5'6". There's one scene where they get out of the plane at the very end, and you can see the difference between the two of them. And Tim Robbins looks like a giant next to Tom Cruise. But I'm going to go ahead and skip to the end because we've talked about the geopolitical portion of this. Are we to presuppose that the United States and the Soviet Union had an air battle?
Well, and how did it not? Yeah, and how did it not start World War III if they did?
I know. And all we get is that Stinger even tells Maverick, "You're on every front page in America." So, this is news.
Yeah, it's huge.
He shot down 3 MiGs or 4 MiGs or whatever.
I know,
but the enemy is not reporting on it.
I feel like. So Soviet Union launches a nuke within 5 seconds.
Post haste.
They'll wipe that little grin off of Tom Cruise's face. Hey, okay. I want to talk a little bit about Iceman, the relationship between Iceman and
Ice.
Yeah.
Man.
Okay. I want to talk about specifically. Yeah. They're in the locker room and he was like, "I don't like you because you're dangerous." You know, and so he's like doing that sort of like, he's the Johnny Lawrence of this movie, essentially. But Tom Cruise's reaction when he tells him he doesn't like him because he's dangerous, you need to play that clip here so that the listeners can hear it. But it's so violent. He was like, "Yeah, that's right." And he's like, "Ice Man."
Is that when Val Kilmer responds by snapping his jaws at him?
Yeah. "Cowboys,
what's your problem, Kazansky?"
"You're everyone's problem.
That's because every time you go up in the air, you're unsafe. I don't like you because you're dangerous.
That's right. Nice, man. I am dangerous.
Yeah. First off, Val Kilmer is constantly smacking his gum. He's always like, just every time he's on screen, he's smacking his gums, and it's hilarious.
There's a lot of gum chewing in this movie, for sure.
This movie, okay, you saw this movie when you were a kid. Did you walk away thinking any of this movie was hilarious? Or
no, I didn't. I just thought it was really cool. Like, it was it was the epitome of cool. I will say this. When I was 10 years old, I kind of got mad at the movie because I was 10. I felt like I was a big kid, right? And and I honestly can't remember crying at a movie at any time in my life. But when
during
Goose
the love
died.
Scene? Oh, Goose died, yeah.
Yes, when the tongue swapping was going on. No, when Goose died, man, I could not hold it in. And so, I mean, the tears just fell. And I was mad. I was mad that this movie killed Goose.
Yeah.
And made me cry as a 10-year-old boy.
Yeah.
That was a traumatic scene for a 10-year-old.
Yeah, well, I can, even before I saw this movie, I knew that Goose died because I just heard people talking about it because they were also traumatized by the fact that he died. And I think also it was not too long after this movie that we then knew Meg Ryan, who she was. So it wasn't just Goose dying. It was Meg Ryan losing her husband.
Yeah, there are so many quotes in this movie. The Iceman one.
There's a scene where, Kelly McGillis, Charlie, as she's called, she critiques Tom Cruise's flying ability or his flight style or whatever. And Tom Cruise, like a 3-year-old, storms off and gets on his motorcycle. He's like, I'm going to leave. I'm on my motorcycle. You know? And she's like,
wait. I can't hear you. I can't hear you.
Yeah. She's like, wait, Maverick, Lieutenant. And he's like, sorry, can't hear you. I'm a petulant child. I'm going to storm off on my motorcycle. So he drives off and she, first off, this person who works for the government lives in like a $5 million beach house and drives a vintage Porsche, which I'm like, where is she getting this money? But yeah, she chases him down. And the first thing he yells at her, I don't remember exactly what he says, but he says something like, the safety of my crew is the most important thing to me there is, or something like that. And I'm like, what? I'm like, no, it's not. You've been buzzing the tower. You've been flying upside down, like right next to a MiG.
Yeah.
Safety is not important to you. That's your whole thing. You're a Maverick.
That was also right before they made Sweet Passionate Love.
in blue lighting. And
yes.
It's like Kelly McGillis's place. Like she must have a button that turns the entire place blue because that's what it was. But so I actually know why it was lit so weird like that. Apparently, they shot the elevator scene and the sweet passionate lovemaking scene after principal shooting was already done. Like they had already, Kelly McGillis had lost weight for a part and Tom Cruise was shooting Color of Money. And so his hair was longer. And so that's why, like in that scene, like he's got a towel around him. So he's like covering his longer hair, but yeah, they had to like keep it really dark because the two characters didn't look the same.
Well, and she's wearing a hat.
Yeah.
In the elevator scene too. So yeah, I saw that as well. The other thing, I think that this movie I was reading where I would tell you, but not then I'd have to kill you. Line, I think that originated with this movie, which is interesting. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And then there were several other things. I mean, there's so many. It's really become more iconic than I even realized. I think just everyday parlance that people use. I know that the real Top Gun school, they issue a $5 fine for any staff that quotes the movie, which is funny, I think.
So they got so annoyed by it. Like you would think that they'd be somewhat happy because it obviously got them a lot of recruits back in the mid-80s.
One thing I noticed, I think that we want to wait for the volleyball scene kind of to the end. But one thing I noticed even as a 10-year-old child watching this movie was, and I told you I was going to do a running count, but Tom Cruise does something in this movie with his face that I don't really see in many of his other movies. And it's where he clenches his jaws. And it is something, I mean, I'm not kidding. I noticed it the first time I saw it in the movie theater because it's obvious and it is often. So I did a running tally of how many jaw clenches there were in this movie. And it does include, I think, Anthony Edwards added one, and Iceman added about 3 or 4, maybe 5. Would you care to take a guess? And this is a conservative number. There were times when there was gum chewing that I did not include, even though I can chew gum and not clench my jaw. But there were also like 3/4 side views of him with like shadows on his cheeks, and I thought I saw a couple, but I didn't add those either. These were just obvious facing the camera or turning to the side jaw clenches. Take a guess as to how many there were.
All right. So if Iceman is at 4, I'm going to put Cruise at 30.
I counted 71 jaw clenches.
I said what I thought would be an outrageous number, and it doubled.
Yeah. And it, like I said, that's a conservative number. I mean, that's impressive. That's almost like he had an idea in mind to have this character clench his jaw a lot. And you just wonder how many clenches were on the editing room floor, you know?
Does he do that in other movies?
That's what I said. Because, like, I don't remember seeing him doing that in like War of the Worlds.
Yeah. Because this movie, like, I feel like this is kind of like the launch of Tom Cruise, the movie star that we know. Like, I mean, he had been in Risky Business. He had been in The Outsiders. He had been in All the Right Moves. But, you know, this is like what catapulted him to just mega, mega, mega stardom. So, like, the reason I asked that was because I'm wondering if, because he became so famous through this particular movie, if he was like, oh, that's, I need to sort of be Maverick a little bit in every movie. because he, you know, he does stuff like riding a motorcycle. I feel like he works that into a lot of movies, you know, maybe not Jerry Maguire, but.
So that's a lot of jaw clenching for one movie. Yeah. You know, he's an interesting guy. He's a great actor, but he's never won an Oscar. He's never won a Best Actor award. In fact, I was just reading this article. Top Gun Maverick has broken the record for a Memorial Day weekend that took in $156 million for Memorial Day weekend, which is the highest grossing movie that he's ever had on opening weekend and the first record, I think. So most of his movies, even though they're extremely popular, actually don't perform that well in the theaters.
That's interesting. That's interesting about, we don't have a monoculture anymore. Like, you know, like, no. We don't have like Terminator 2 coming out, and it's like there's a song from that movie on MTV, and there's a, you know, you can buy stuff at McDonald's that, like, a, mm-hmm. there's a cup at McDonald's or whatever it is. This feels the closest to that mm-hmm. that we've had in a long time. And that's mostly because I feel like everybody I know, well, maybe not everybody, but on social media, I'm seeing people posting photos of themselves going to this movie. And like, I don't, like, people don't post photos of themselves going to typical movies. And like, I've known people who like have dressed up in flight suits to go to this movie.
These Sean, are grown did people. Did you do that?
I mean, I will. I'm going to dress up as Iceman and smack gum
at the beach.
Time. Yeah, yeah. I'm just going to wear jeans, no shirt, body butter.
Volleyball.
Yeah.
That is okay. Let's get into volleyball.
Before we go volleyball scene, you mentioned that Tom Cruise had never won an Oscar, but this movie did win an Oscar.
Yes, it did.
For the love theme of Take My Breath Away by Berlin. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who never had another hit.
No, but they were famous. They were famous for that song and that. And then in the NBA Superstars VHS tape, the Michael Jordan song is Berlin, Take My Breath Away. Because at the very beginning, they mimic
that on Space Jam.
Yeah, they mimic Top Gun. But anyway, so yeah, this movie did win an Oscar for best original song or something like that. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. So volleyball. What do you think about the volleyball scene? What stood out?
Perfectly normal. Perfectly normal. Nothing really to discuss. Well, okay. Again, I didn't see this movie till I was an adult. And I didn't even hear, like, it wasn't like people, when kids at my school talked about the movie Top Gun, they were talking about, oh, the planes are so cool, Maverick's so cool, mm-hmm. so on and so forth. I never heard about the volleyball scene. Then I watched the movie for the first time and I was like, okay, that seems kind of random. And if you have, for some reason, have not seen the movie Top Gun, kind of smack dab in the middle of this movie, you have a 2-on-2 volleyball match. And I used to think it was beach volleyball, but it actually didn't. I looked at it again, because again, like, I came in here prepared to talk about this one scene for an hour, but it's not, it's just sand volleyball. It's not necessarily beach sure. volleyball, but there are a lot of conspicuous shots of oiled up abdomens. Tom Cruise is like checking his watch. And when he does, he's making sure his arms like completely flexed. Right before this scene, Maverick is trying to win a date with Charlie, Kelly McGillis's character. And at first she says no, but then she's like, she leaves him a note that says, meet me for dinner at 5:30. Well, first off, like, what person under the age of 70 eats dinner at 5:30? Like, how old is Kelly McGillis here? Like, is she 30? I don't know.
Maybe.
Yeah. So he finally got his date. And what does he decide to do? He decides to show up at a impromptu beach volleyball game that's in the San Diego heat, I think. I have some questions about the temperature. And he plays 2-on-2 volleyball against, it's who's Iceman's?
I think it's Slider.
Slider, yeah.
Except that at some point, one of them howls like a wolf. And I know one of the call signs is Wolfman. Wolfman. And so I know Slider is playing, but then I got a little confused. I'm pretty sure it's Slider. He's the one that does like the strongman competition pose.
yeah, the conspicuous pose. So Tom Cruise is playing this volleyball game, and it seems like it's impromptu, because why else would he be playing in jeans? It's like,
yeah,
it's almost like he was on his way to the date, and Iceman is like, hey, do you want to play volleyball? What's the matter? You chicken? You don't want to play volleyball? He's like, I'll show you. And like, so he removes his t-shirt, his chicken. He removes his bomber jacket and his t-shirt. And then plays this game, because the two other, Slider and Iceman, they're kind of in athleisure wear. And then
they're wearing board shorts and stuff like that.
Yeah. And then Goose is dressed
in a mock turtleneck.
Yeah. Everybody in this game is shirtless except for Goose. And I identified with him. I was like, my man right there. But yeah. First off, there's some very unrealistic scenes in it. They show Tom Cruise spiking the ball, which is hilarious. That 5'3 dude, he ain't spiking anything. Slider, sure. Val Kilmer, sure. Anthony Edwards, sure. Anthony Edwards looks pretty tall next to Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
But Tom Cruise is not spiking a volleyball in an actual match. But yet they shot him at some weird camera angles and made it happen.
Yeah, this movie. So I was, you know, I saw this movie when I was 10, and intermittently throughout my life, I had seen it. And then I remember in high school, someone mentioned, like, let's watch Top Gun or something like that. And it was a mixed group, girls and guys. And all the girls were like, oh, yeah, let's just skip straight to the volleyball scene. And I was like, huh? What are you talking? Like, I didn't even hardly remember it, right? And all of a sudden, it was like at that point, anytime I heard about Top Gun, it was always like in relation to this volleyball scene that's just so iconic, right? So I think that that's where my dislike for Top Gun kind of began, and then I just kind of rebelled against it like I did Birkenstocks in the 90s. But yeah, so it's just a hilarious scene. What I don't get is, first of all, Goose seems really upset, like, you're not going to play another game, even for me? Like, why, you know,
yeah.
Why are you leaving?
Was it tied to?
It's just a volleyball game, dude.
There had to have been scenes omitted. Like we said, it just skips from, I guess they had to invent a reason for him to be late for this date.
Could have been a million other reasons, I think.
Yeah, but was it tied 2-2, right? Because they're like, oh, it's all even up. Like,
oh, I don't even know.
They're like, it's all even up. And so I'm assuming it was like maybe tied 2 games apiece, and they're playing best of 5. And
maybe.
And Maverick was not going to play the rubber match. Okay, judging by the amount of sweat dripping from these guys' torsos.
throughout the movie. I mean, it is the hottest movie I've ever seen in my life.
Right. Well, so it's so hot that Tom Cruise is like, I cannot play this volleyball game in a shirt. So when he gets done, though, he's still sweaty, but he puts on his t-shirt and his bomber's jacket. So I don't know. I had questions about the climate there.
There is more sweat in this movie. I mean, some of the aircraft carrier guys, just get them a towel, man. Like, they are dripping Karl Malone style with sweat. It's crazy. The other thing about Tom Cruise in that volleyball scene, you know he's got some sand down those jeans. And he gets on his motorcycle and just rides to Charlie's house. And then is like, I'm just going to jump in the shower real quick. Okay.
He was.
All right.
Yeah. We knew what was on his mind. And he was like, I cannot. He didn't want the moment. He didn't want the moment to occur. And then all of a sudden, sand goes everywhere.
Just a pocket full of sand comes out.
Yeah. It's kind of like, when on DuckTales, when Scrooge McDuck opens a safe and coins go everywhere, but it's like with sand. But also, did you notice how high, like Tom Cruise wears his waist like really high on those jeans?
Well, not only the jeans, the towel. He's wearing a towel at one point. It is literally under his pecs. In one scene after Goose dies, he's in a bathroom just staring at himself in the mirror with nothing but briefs on. And they are above the belly button, I'm sure. They ride so high. And then Tom Skerritt comes in and starts talking to him. And he kind of walks behind him to his side. And he's telling him, hey, you got to just forget this. You know, it's going to happen. We're in this business. Got to let it go. And then as he's leaving, he crosses back behind him and Tom Cruise is in his nothing but briefs. Would you ever touch a man, touch a man's bare back? All he had on was briefs. Tom Skerritt just kind of gently slides his hand across his back.
It's a different time, man. Different time.
Different times. Different times. But yeah, so it was funny. The volleyball scene, it lasts probably a minute and a half out of this whole movie, but I think it's become one of the more iconic scenes in the movies.
Yeah, and it's because, okay, this movie came out in a time, in sort of like a pre-ironic time, and we are now, like maybe just a few short years, like maybe 7 years after it came out, we then began looking at it through this like really ironic early 90s lens that everything was kind of looked at. And so even things that just happened a few years before, we're now like, oh my goodness, like it's sort of out of place that all of a sudden these guys are all greased up and playing volleyball like out of nowhere. And so, yeah, it's, I can see why it sort of took on a life of its own.
Yeah.
I thought I'd put you to sleep with my thoughts on the,
No, I was actually looking something up. So
oh.
I was paying attention, but I was also typing in something because I have an idea because, you know, this movie came out in 1986. Now we're in 2022, and obviously COVID pushed this movie back a year or two from its debut, but it's 36 years after the original. And Tom Cruise, although he is aging, is still able to do this movie in an action way and convincingly. I mean, I haven't seen the movie, but from everything I've read, he's convincing in this. So it's, I was thinking, okay, what was 36 years before 1986, 1950? What was the top grossing movie in 1950? Well, it was Cinderella, which is an animated movie that doesn't really count. But Spencer Tracy's Father of the Bride comes in at $10 million. And I was just thinking, you know, that would be like them doing a remake of Father of the Bride or a sequel of Father of the Bride in 1986 with Spencer Tracy playing the lead role. Or All About Eve, you know, okay, so Spencer Tracy was the father in that movie. Maybe that's not a great apples to apples. All About Eve, you know, is a classic movie. It was the fourth largest movie, coming in with $8 million. So, you know, 36 years later, I mean, just think about the difference between a 1950 movie and 1986 movie and what they're doing with Tom Cruise and these two movies is pretty incredible. I think, I mean, even the Indiana Jones movies, you know, Harrison Ford looks like he's somebody's grandpa now. You know, he's not the action figure that he once was, but Tom Cruise is still killing it. It's just crazy to me.
Well, yeah. Now, one thing is, you know, Harrison Ford did not get Star Wars till he was 35. And sure. I'm assuming Tom Cruise was, I don't know.
He was 24 in this movie.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's, you know, it's pretty young. And so I guess if that was 36 years. So Tom Cruise is 60 or about to be 60.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Or 58, maybe. I'm horrible at math. Yeah. That's remarkable. Yeah. He has a fantastic plastic surgeon and hairdresser.
But anyways, so that's it. Top Gun, the volleyball scene, our first timeout movie. We'll continue with our regularly scheduled movie until the next couple of movies. We'll do another version of timeout. But
what's the next pod that's coming out, like, for like what's next in the queue?
Well, I'm going to release this in the next day or two. But in the next couple of minutes, North Dallas 40 will be coming out.
Ooh.
Just got to polish that up a little bit, and you should be seeing it in 15 or 20 minutes.
Oh, wow. Nice. Well, obviously, Slow Pitch fans, I have plenty of other thoughts on the volleyball scene. If you want to reach out to me personally, Ray, Keith, you guys know who you are. We can have a text chat about it.
Dieter in Frankfurt. Don't forget about him.
Oh, didn't we, there was some ranking came out, right? For podcasts.
And we sure, were on. Yeah. So it was a little disingenuous, but I'm just kind of having fun with it. Right. So I made it kind of look like we were I think we were in the 160s of the top podcast, but it's really, we were 160s, in like 163rd out of all the film and movie review podcasts. So it's not just all podcasts that we were 163rd.
Right. But is that good?
Still, you know what? We're top 200.
Yeah, I was going to say, if there are 10,000 podcasts,
yeah,
about film and movies, then we're doing amazing. If you tell me that there's 168, then I'm like, okay, that sounds about right.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think that we were right above a Barstool Sports podcast. So
how? You know. I bet the Barstool Sports podcast, like, they prep and stuff, and they they're probably getting paid to do their podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. One last thing before we say goodbye. So Top Gun is not a sports movie, so it is not in our Rotten Tomatoes top 150 sports movies. But it is in another list that Rotten Tomatoes has. This is the 140 essential action movies to watch now.
Oh, now you got to watch it now. Yeah. Drop what you're doing. I don't care if you are at your child's baptism. You drop what you're doing and you watch this movie now. That's what that sounds like to me.
So, top 140. Do you want to guess where it falls?
Of movies that you have to watch right now.
Action movies. Essential action movies to watch now.
Okay, I'm going to say it comes in at 12.
Would you think that it comes in before or after The Expendables 2?
Oh, man. I've not seen any of The Expendables. Are you telling me that this movie is below Expendables 2?
Let me tell you where this one comes in. It comes in at number 126.
126?
I felt like it was a little low.
That sounds very low.
Listen to the next ones, okay? Number 125, Con Air.
Wow.
Number 124, The Expendables 2.
Wait, what's the top five?
I don't know. I haven't gotten that far. But listen to this also, okay? The tomato meter for Top Gun is 57%.
Well,
The Expendables 2 is 67%.
Well, you know, again, well, I do know that Top Gun did not do well with critics at the time. And in a way, I think that's kind of fair, because as great as the action sequences are and as impressive as the footage of flight is, because you got to remember, zero CGI in 1986.
Yeah.
They were filming planes doing these tricks. You know, when you look back, the dialogue is super cheesy, and probably people like Roger Ebert and Gene Siskel, they probably knew that at the time. But you know, like a movie like The Expendables, again, that's kind of happening in this post-ironic era where The Expendables is kind of making fun of movies like Top Gun. And so I feel like that's being taken into account to some degree.
Okay.
And I'm
ready
saying
for the
that,
top five?
Yes.
Number five, a John Woo film from 1992, Hard Boiled. Never heard of it.
Me neither. Top Gun should be ahead of it.
Number four, The Matrix.
Okay.
Number three, Terminator 2, Judgment Day.
All right. I agree. That's a good one.
Number two, Die Hard.
Okay. That's a great movie.
Mad Max. Yeah. Number one is Mad Max for Fury Road.
So the one that came out like 10 years ago or something?
2015.
Like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, I've never seen Mad Max Fury Road.
Arnie is pervasive in the top 15. He's got Predator at number 14, Total Recall at number 12.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. Arnold should be very present on that list. Interesting. Well, okay. No matter what Roger Ebert and Gene Siskel rated it, we need to give it our own rating for it to go into the annals of Slow Pitch. So it's my turn to come up with a rating system, and I could have done Iceman Gum Chomps, decided not to. Like Brad said, I could have done Jaw Clenches. I could have done cringy barroom renditions serenades. Yeah, I'm not going to do that. In honor of this beach volleyball scene, I am going to make our rating system. Male cleavage dangling dog tags. And we rank them by twos because there's two of those things down there.
Two what?
Dog tags.
Dog tags?
Yeah.
In some ways, I'm still 10 years old.
Okay. So,
all right. So whenever I come up with them, you go first. I'll go first on this one.
Yeah.
So is it a factor of two? So
I don't know.
I'll just go. Yeah, this has been a movie that for 25 years I've kind of rebelled against, and it all more or less boils down to my feelings of inadequacy compared to these guys getting attention from the girls in my high school, you know, and not me getting that attention.
Yeah, I have body issues after seeing this movie.
Well, I have always had body issues. Being 6'8" and 160 pounds when I graduated high school, there wasn't a muscle on me. It was pretty much bone and then skin. And these guys had muscles that they're not abs, but those little muscles like by the ribs that are like a, you know, just a square inch.
Are those called deltoids?
I don't think so. Those are over your shoulders.
Oh, see, I don't even know.
I don't know what they are, but I've never, ever, and I will never have those. But I was expecting girls to swoon over me instead of Iceman and Slider and Maverick and their weird muscles that they had. I think rewatching it this time and actually sitting down and paying attention to it, trying to figure it out with the whole flight school portion. I still don't know what the difference is between before Top Gun and after Top Gun necessarily, but it did make a little bit more sense to me. And just purely on just kind of fun 1980s, the soundtrack is great. You know, and even the score of the movie is iconic, and it's just great. Factor in three shirtless dudes playing volleyball, I'm gonna give it a four hanging male cleavage dog tags out of five.
Okay, fantastic.
And to a power of two.
Right. Well, bottom line, is this movie cheesy? Absolutely. Is it a blast? Yes, it is. And part of it is, like, even if you did not appreciate this movie as a kid, you can appreciate it through an ironic lens now, because the unintentional comedy is there. This volleyball scene it speaks to that immensely. And so you can laugh at stuff like the volleyball scene. You can kind of laugh at the tropey, kind of, I guess we'll call him, if this was a high school movie, Iceman would kind of be the jock who picks on, you know, our protagonist or whatever. It's got all that stuff, which I love it. I'm there for it. So I think I'm also going to give this four dangling dog tags smack dab in the middle of Tom Cruise's man cleavage.
All right. So there it is. Yeah, it's a fun one. I will say that my viewpoint on Val Kilmer has changed on Iceman. I thought that he was a bully for the longest time, but now I view him as just wanting to keep everybody safe. He just wanted to do things by the book. And Maverick's a wild card. He is. And he doesn't care about his crew and the safety of his crew. And at the end of the day, Iceman is the better flyer. So anyway, I did change my opinion on Iceman. Plus, I love Val Kilmer, man. How can you not?
Yeah, he's
great.
He's I'm looking to. I know he's had a rough go of it lately.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to seeing what he does in Maverick.
All right. Well, that's it for this version of our first time out. Hope you guys enjoyed it. If you want to rate and review us, you can. Helps us out. You can hit us up on Twitter at Slow Pitch Cast and then Instagram at Slow Pitch Podcast. All right. Well, thanks for listening, and we'll see you at the next one.
Peace.
Take me out with the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. I don't care if I never get back. Let me root, root, root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. For it's 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out at the old ball game.
Oh, satisfaction.